Our text this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, the last 2 weeks, we looked at the subjects of the day of Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today, we want to look at the question regarding signs, miracles, and wonders. And these two verses fall very much into that subject and are the basis for a whole lot of activity in the religious world, an activity that is not good, but is harmful. But before we look at the two verses, I want to look at the background behind them. In Mark chapter 16, verse 14, we find that they occurred on the evening of Christ's resurrection. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So Jesus rose very early on the morning of the first day of the week, our Sunday, and he appeared to Mary Magdalene, who came and told the 11 of his resurrection, but they didn't believe her. Then he appeared to two others, disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they went back to the 11 apostles and told about their experience, but they didn't believe it either. And now in the evening of that day, the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem. Now, when it says he appeared unto the 11, the number 11 there refers to the totality of the apostles as a body. There were actually only 10 of them present at the time because Thomas was not there. If you look at John chapter 20, verse 19, speaking of this same event, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." And then you read down in verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." There were also other disciples gathered there with the 11 at this time. In Luke chapter 24, verses 9 through 11, we read there the two disciples on the road to Emmaus who had met with Christ, and the women who had seen him. It says, they returned from the sepulchre, verse 9, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest, the others who were there. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So this is the account of the women's report. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then down in verse 33, we read there, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem." These are the two disciples that met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. "And they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon." And then in verse 36 it says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." And so this is all occurring in the upper room in Jerusalem. We read of that place in Acts chapter 1 after Jesus had ascended to heaven. The disciples returned there to wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 12 of Acts chapter 1. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now, one thing I want to notice, as we said, there are the 10 apostles and other disciples with them gathered in this upper room on the evening of the resurrection. But when Jesus appeared, and in Mark 16, verse 15, what we find is that his remarks that he made at this time are directed specifically to the apostles themselves. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, who are them? The 11, as they sat at meat. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So he gives them their commission to go and preach the gospel and to baptize those who believe. So with that background, we can go back to Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, which reads, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now the word signs here means confirming proofs, such as wonders and miracles, which were outward, observable evidences, things perceptible to the senses, that were given by God in order to show, a sign always points to some truth, to show that this gospel of Christ was truly his own word and that the apostles were his authentic and duly authorized servants. Jesus himself had his person and ministry confirmed by signs in John chapter 20. Verse 30, it says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, the Old Testament prophesied that the Christ would do miracles, and Jesus came and declared himself to be the Messiah, and he proved it by the miracles that he performed. And so here in Mark 16, it says, these signs shall follow, or they shall attend them that believe, or they would be given to those who themselves believed this gospel and that then proclaimed it as an evidence and fruit of their faith. We find that in Galatians 3, verse 5. In Galatians 3, Paul is arguing against the false doctrine that believers in Christ have to go back under the law of Moses and be circumcised in order to be justified and saved. And he asks them a couple questions. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. So they had received the Holy Spirit in his indwelling presence when they believed in Jesus Christ. Then in verse 5, he asks another question. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, who ministers to you in the power of the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, as confirmations of his call of God. of God being with him. He asks this, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, when a person believes the gospel and receives Christ, he receives the Holy Spirit of God. And when people go out preaching the gospel and declaring the message of Christ so that people can hear and believe and be saved, and in this case, who also worked miracles to show that they were truly of God, what he's saying is it was by faith that they were able to do these things. And that's why Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 that these signs would follow them that believe. Now, this is a general statement made by Christ, which is regulated and defined and explained by other scriptures that were revealed later. In other words, he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. What signs? When? How would they follow? This was left to be revealed to the apostles and prophets of the New Testament by the Spirit of God. And this is often the case with Christ's words in the Gospels. In John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13, Jesus said this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, you're not prepared or ready or capable of hearing them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In other words, when I send the Spirit from heaven upon you, he will enlighten you and give you the spiritual ability to receive further revelation. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, we know in our day it's often taught that faith is something we produce ourselves and then we bring to God, and God has to do whatever we believe him for. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Faith is God's gift to us. And he gives us faith based on what he intends to do. And so we can only believe God for what is his will. In Romans 10:17, we're told that the word of God is what determines what faith is able to accomplish. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And so, when we read a verse like Mark 16, verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe, the next question we need to ask is, what does the Bible teach about these subjects? And what can I expect God to do? And the only way that can be answered is, we must always first ask the question, is it scriptural? Because faith always works in unison with the Bible and never goes outside of its teaching for anything it is able to accomplish. So these signs shall follow them that believe. Now let's move on in Mark 16 to verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, what we find here is that the Lord, when he appeared to the 11, he spoke to the 11 apostles, visibly and audibly, on this occasion and also on other occasions right up until his ascension to the right hand of God. We see other accounts along that line during the 40 days he was on the earth after his resurrection. John chapter 20. Verse 26, it says, "And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within." So it's the following Sunday, after Christ's resurrection, they're in that upper room in Jerusalem, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." So here's the second appearance. Then you go over in chapter 21, and verse 1 says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself." And verse 14 says, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." And then you go over in Acts chapter 1 and we learn more about this period of time in verses 1 to 3. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he had through the Holy Ghost given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So he's giving them instructions relating to the gospel, preparing them for their ministry after his return to heaven. And in verse 9 it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now going back to Mark chapter 16. You remember in verse 15, Jesus said to the 11, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And so he says to them, "Go ye." And the "ye" there are the 11 apostles who are already believers and who were God's specially chosen witnesses to Christ and especially his resurrection. Peter talks about this in Acts chapter 10, verse 37. "God was preaching to the children of Israel peace, reconciliation with himself by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. He says, 'That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he is which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. He ministered the gospel. He ministered the Spirit to these new believers. So, go ye who are believers. And who are they to go to? Mark 16 again. preach the gospel to every creature, or to those who are not yet believers. Creature there referring to rational men for whom the gospel is intended. And so the apostles obeyed Christ's command. And they went forth preaching the gospel in every place and to every person to whom God sent them. That's what Mark 16, verse 20 says. They went forth and preached everywhere. But first, Jesus told them that they were to wait for the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit, who would enable them to do their ministry. That's in Luke chapter 24. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't go anywhere. Do not attempt to do this work until you are divinely enabled for it. And he said again in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so, as we read Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. These two verses occurred after the Lord's ascension to God's right hand and after the day of Pentecost, when the Lord poured out His Spirit upon them. And when He was in heaven, from where He worked with His apostles by the Holy Spirit from His position of exaltation. Back in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it says, when He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. He was received up into heaven. And then in chapter 2, we find 10 days later, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so, as they spoke in all these languages of the Jews that had assembled from around the world to Jerusalem for the feast, it gathered a crowd. And the crowd was full of wonder and amazement. And they tried to understand how this was possible, that these Galileans were able to speak these languages they had never learned. And then verse 16, Peter explains what had happened. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. And again, the last days are the period of time between Christ's first coming and His second coming at the end of the world. He says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is what is occurring on the day of Pentecost. And he explains it further. Chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all, we apostles, are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. And then He goes on in verse 36 to say that this is the proof, the God-given evidence that Jesus is who He claimed to be and is now exalted to God's right hand and has sent the Spirit upon His people. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now this co-working of the Lord Jesus that Mark 16 speaks of, where he says in verse 20, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, with the 11 apostles, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. This co-working of the Lord Jesus was His validating and authenticating the witness of His apostles by giving that to them the ability to perform great signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit. And these miracles were their God-given credentials for their gospel preaching. God was saying, these are My men. They're preaching My word. You better hear what they have to say or you will answer to Me for it. Now, we find that these gifts that the believers in the first century had were given by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, to every Christian man, to profit with all, or for the benefit of the whole. And then he enumerates some of them. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. So these first century believers had these special, temporary, supernatural, extraordinary sign gifts. And what was their purpose? Hebrews 2, verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. God was giving a testimony to His messengers and to their message. And again, in the form of signs, wonders, and miracles, which were given to them by the Holy Spirit. Not according to their desire or request, but according to God's own sovereign will and purpose. God was bearing them witness, just as Mark 16 says. Now it's interesting, in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus made a very amazing statement. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. In other words, I'm returning to My Father in heaven. I'm going to send My Spirit upon My people, and they shall be able to do the works I do, and even greater works. And when you think of a verse like that, it's hard to imagine anyone doing greater works than Christ Himself did. healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, feeding the multitudes, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the dumb, enabling the lame to walk, controlling the elements of nature. Who could do greater works than that? Or even equal works to that? And yet, we find that Christ's word was fulfilled primarily in the spiritual realm. When Jesus returned to heaven, he had 120 disciples assembled there in the upper room in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise of the Father. After 3.5 years of ministry, and then the Spirit was poured out, and in Acts 2, Peter goes out to preach. And what was the fruit of his sermon? Verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." 3,000 converted as a result of one sermon. And of course, the conversion of a soul is God's greatest act of power. Then shortly after that, they continue ministering, chapter 4, verse 4. They're preaching, and it says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And then we go down to chapter 5. Verse 14, it says, "Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women." And so certainly, in regard to the results of the gospel, the apostles exceeded the results that Christ enjoyed by his earthly ministry. And of course, when Jesus ministered, he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, where when the Spirit was poured out on the disciples, eventually they went to the uttermost parts of the earth preaching the gospel. But even in the physical realm, notice in Matthew chapter 14, it talks about some of the miracles Jesus performed. Verse 35. "When the men of that place, Gennesaret, had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole." And so Jesus was there in his personal presence, and the people desired to be able to come into contact with him through his garment by touching it. And they were in hopes that virtue would go out from him to heal their physical maladies. And it did. As many as touched were made perfectly whole. But it's amazing in Acts chapter 5, and verse 12, it says, "By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." And it says, "Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both of men and women," verse 15, "insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. So here you have a case of they weren't coming into direct physical contact with Peter, but only hoping that his shadow might pass over them, and that as a result they would be healed. And same with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19. Paul's ministering at Ephesus, and it says in verse 11, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." And again, we need to recognize and realize it's by the hands of the apostles that these things were done, because they were the one who were promised to have these God-given abilities to do signs and wonders. It says, "So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons." So here the sick were at a distance, and that which had been in personal contact with Paul was taken from his person to them, handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them. And the evil spirits went out of them. And so again, you have the apostles performing these wonders as the God-given testimony of their calling and as the credentials of their being genuine apostles and ministers of Christ. And so, as you think about Mark 16, in closing, what we find is Jesus appeared to the 11 apostles, Thomas later. They were witnesses of his resurrection. They ate and drank with him after he rose. He gave them a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He returned to heaven, sent his Spirit upon them. His Spirit gave them special gifts in the form of signs, wonders, and miracles as his believing servants. And it says, verse 20, "They went forth and preached everywhere." Who are they? The 11 apostles. And the Lord working with them, in other words, he was doing the work in and through them, and he was confirming their word, his word, with the signs that followed them. And so his promise was fulfilled. "These signs shall follow them that believe." Who? The apostles. As Christ gave them those signs and enabled them to perform miracles, it was his working with them, the 11 apostles. And we need to be careful that we don't generalize these things. All believers do not do the works of Christ and greater works. All believers do not have these signs to follow them. The apostles did. And some of those who either ministered with the apostles or that the apostles ministered to and imparted gifts to there in the early church. But of course, these gifts are no longer in the church, no longer operative, and so we no longer have to look for them. And with that, we'll close for today.